I am excited to share with you Quantum Life Mastery School. This is what we offer through Amplify Impact Academy, among many other trainings. However, this is our gold standard training. This is the training that allows you to become one of the top 1% of coaches in the world. That as a master practitioner, once you complete this training, you will be able to guarantee your results in writing to your clients, because you are working with neurology and they will no longer be able to do their problem after you've rewired that neurology. Through this Quantum Life Mastery Schools, you will get 4 designations: as a master practitioner of NLP, a master practitioner of timeline therapy, a master practitioner of hypnotherapy, and a master practitioner of NLP results coaching. And throughout this program, we build on the learnings as you go through the practitioner training, as well as some personal growth trainings to get to that master practitioner level. And this work is so powerful. You will literally, in just working with clients for 10 to 12 hours, transform their lives. And even better, this isn't just for coaches. We call it Quantum Life Mastery Skills because this is literally life skills. We've had people come through that want to be better parents, better partners, better leaders at work. One fellow came through because he knew the power of mindset with his golf game. He wanted to improve his golf game. When you do this work for yourself, your life improves, regardless of whether you're a coach. And the ripple effect of your life improving and up-leveling yourself has profound positive impact on your family and loved ones as well. So check out the link in the show notes to the Amplify Impact Academy Quantum Life Mastery School. Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness. And yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I am Melissa Dealey, your host, and here with me today, I have Darshana Avila. Welcome to the show, Darshana.
Thank you, Melissa. So happy to be here.
And I'm excited to have you here and have this conversation today, and I just want to introduce you to the audience. Darshana is a trauma-informed somatic educator, practitioner, and international speaker, who helps people reconnect with the most essential aspects of themselves, their truth, their desires, and their capacity for profound pleasure and power. Known for her grounded, candid, and relational approach, she bridges the worlds of embodiment, emotional intelligence, and personal agency with depth and accessibility. Darshana's work has been featured on Netflix's Sex, Love, and Goop, The Guardian, The New Yorker, and numerous leading podcasts. So yes, welcome to the show, Darshana.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here.
And I always love to ask people, what led you into this work? There's always a story.
Yeah. The story for me, I mean, we could say I've always been curious and precocious, and exploring sexuality and spirituality are two ways that I have been doing that my whole life. And the real origin story of, like, how did this become my professional path was I was married for most of my 20s, got married at 22. My ex-husband and I separated about 28. And if you're an astrology nerd out there, that means I was right at my Saturn return when that relationship transitioned. My father passed away that same year. It was a time of a lot of big transformation. And I was already very deeply immersed in my formative spiritual path, which was rooted in yoga. Classical yoga was my gateway drug, as I like to say. And then after my marriage, I started dating and I started having sex with different people and I started learning about myself in ways that I was like, oh, all of this was not part of my monogamous marriage. And so, as those two things were both lighting me up, what I was also noticing is that they felt very disconnected from one another. That sexuality seems really compartmentalized for most of the rest of our lives in a modern Western culture. Spirituality too, in certain contexts, although I think that's gotten a little more mainstream cred these
A
days.
little
And
more,
a
yes.
little bit more, depends on who you're talking to. And it was really something in me wanting those two facets of my life, these two areas where I was feeling so inspired and turned on in every sense of that phrase being used. I wanted them to feel more connected. And so as I started exploring that, it led me to tantra and sacred sexuality and areas where sex and spirit are interconnected. But then I quickly caught on to like, well, but this stuff can feel a little airy fairy. It can be a little woo-woo. And what it isn't oftentimes is very trauma-informed and culturally sensitive, which are values that I hold dear. So all of that put together is what my work is about. And while I did not make one single conscious choice that this was the path I was going to walk down, it was a series of choices and life kind of choosing for me and saying, go in this direction, and me having the gift of ignorance to follow. And I mean that sincerely. If I knew what I was getting into when I left a corporate career to pursue this path, I might not have chosen it. But I didn't know what it would take 11 years ago when I started my private practice. And yet, it has been the most wild ride and beautiful adventure. And here we are getting to have this conversation about it. So,
Well, I love that because you were following the breadcrumbs and the universe was guiding you. And so that was you tapping into that spiritual side of you and following it and trusting it and not questioning where it was going to end up, just taking it step by step by step down this journey that you were destined to go down. And as you just said, it's been this beautiful experience that you might have said no to up front if you had stop to consciously question and think about it and try to have all the answers up front, which we will never have, right?
it's
And
true.
I love
I mean,
it because.
life is a mystery on so many levels, and there is very little that we get to control, and often very little that we get to know the answers to until it's time. And
Exactly.
when you can find a way to make some degree of peace with that, that's where the miracles happen. And I use the word
Absolutely.
miracles with a lot of intention there. I know that could be a provocative word for some people, but so can sex. So clearly,
Yeah.
I'm not shy about provocative stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you followed it, right? And that it's
Me too.
got you to where you are because you are fulfilling your purpose, living your mission, and that's how this has come together so beautifully for you now.
Yes, and I
So
do believe that there's a strong sense of soul purpose and that I get to live into and that I get to do the work that I came into this life to do. So it's really a beautiful thing.
it absolutely is. And to your point about doing this in the Western world, culturally, people have different responses to sex and talking about it, publicly with girlfriends. Is it behind closed doors? Is it whispered, et cetera, et cetera? And, as we've moved all around the planet in the last century, that's shifted as well. And so I think it is a part of us. It is a part of us being whole. And as a result, it's a conversation that needs to happen where it isn't taboo. It's literally part of us. And so let's talk about what is erotic wholeness in your definition?
Thank you. Well, first, let's take it word by word. Erotic. I say that word, and I know, speaking of provocation, many people, erotic is even more like, oh my goodness, than sex. And yet, Let me define this for you as I understand eroticism, and that is life force energy. It is our vital, creative, animating force. And so, yes, it absolutely channels into our sexuality. It's also present anywhere that we are passionate, anywhere that we are creating. So that could be your activism, that could be your professional path, that could be the way you are tending to your relationships, family, romance, friendships, community, what have you. It can be in your business life, especially if you're an entrepreneur like me. Like, you got to channel a lot of life force energy to make a business run, right? And so we have this very narrow understanding of eroticism as an especially like tawdry version of sexuality. You know, people think like, oh, erotica, porn. And really, and I want to be clear and respectful that I am not making this up. Like, this didn't just come through me. Where I draw a lot of influence in this understanding of eroticism as life force is from Audre Lorde in particular, who's one of the grandmothers of the Black intersectional feminist movement. And if you take a look at the notion of Eros in more of its mythological origins, yes, it has to do with love and sex and intimacy and relationship, but it's something more vital and broader than that that we get to play with and channel with intention. So that's the definition of erotic.
And I'm
Wholeness
just going to stop you there because I really
is.
like that broader view of it.
Yeah.
Because I know that sometimes, as you said earlier, you start talking about eroticism and people, back off and, I don't want to talk to you or that's not a conversation for here. However, if people understand that broader definition of it, and it's as you said, life force wherever you're passionate. And so that comes back to when you're passionate, what lights you up, right?
Right.
And then comes that phrase, what turns you on, right?
You're reading my mind right now, because think about that turn of phrase, right? What turns you on? We actually use that colloquially in many different contexts. Like, ooh, I just saw that piece of art. That turned me on. I just ate this amazing meal. That turned me on. I heard this really inspiring talk. That turned me on. So think about turn on as a light switch. You know, you turn the switch on and you're getting this jolt of energy through you. That's life force. And notice those examples that I just gave very quickly off the cuff, what they did have in common was we were perceiving something through our senses. I mentioned art, food, and hearing something inspirational. You need your senses in order to really be engaging with this vital energy. And we use our senses through our bodies. That's the common denominator. So when I speak about eroticism in this broader way, I don't want to act as if talking about sex is not okay. I mean, I love it. It's a very important thing to discuss, and it is a deep part of our nature. And if this lets you find a different inroads toward conversations about sex, fantastic. My hope is that it also allows people who are listening to really consider what do you want to do about that life force energy, about that vitality? How do you want to be intentional in the cultivation of it, in really keeping it bright and strong? And again, I use this word for lack of a better one, where do you channel it? It's like, how do we really be intentional then about if I've got that light switch in the up position and all of this turn on is flowing through me, what would I like to have that serve? So it's that's what create, and what is creativity if not that? Yeah.
So that's the word erotic, and
That's the word
then
erotic.
let's go back to the word wholeness.
Yeah. And that too, I draw very heavily from a mentor of mine, a man named Bill Plotkin, whose body of work is called Soulcraft, in case listeners like to go down rabbit holes with these kinds of things. But Bill is a clinical psychologist and got very deeply involved in exploring a lot of indigenous and earth-based cultures and traditions, has a deep animistic frame of looking at life and work and our psycho-spiritual, meaning psyche, mind, mental, spiritual, that world. I bring in a very strong way the somatic, the body-based, to speak about like all of us have an essential self. right? A part of us that is wise and resourced and intact. And also what's true for all of us is that we come into a world that is deeply fragmented. And so we walk around feeling fragmented a lot of the time. To speak about wholeness is to give a nod to that intrinsic altogether part of us. And it's also to give a nod to the work that we get to do. When I like to use the phrase growing ourselves whole, which is to say, we go about gathering up the fragments. We go about examining our protective strategies, our adaptive behaviors that are not to be vilified, you know, the things that we learn to do to stay safe, to get loved. And that can include things like people pleasing. That can include things like perfectionism. It can include things like dissociating from your body in circumstances that aren't safe. This list could go on and on and on and on and on.
And it all served
Wholeness.
a purpose in at the time.
Exactly. And in certain circumstances, even would presently, if you're truly, truly under threat of danger. But the trouble is that our threat response system is often pinging when we're not in real threat of danger, and it's interfering with our life force energy
Yes,
being as
absolutely.
available, is interfering with our relationships. Certainly, where sex and intimacy are concerned, this can be deeply problematic. And so wholeness is about that work we get to do, that beautiful, beautiful work of integrating those parts, getting to know ourselves in a way that is profoundly intimate in its own right, and figuring out how do I protect this one so that its strategy doesn't need to play out? How do I learn to soothe my inner child? How do I learn to unwind that people-pleasing tendency or whatever it might be, so that I actually get to show up as my most authentic self and be in relationship as my most authentic self and get loved as my most authentic self? And erotic wholeness is putting those two things together. And so, yes, most of my clients, most of the people who seek me out, come for something in the realm of their sexual or intimate life. It could be trauma that they've gone through, an assault or abuse or something very like known and overt. It could be a sense of, I just don't know what I really like and I don't know how to talk about it. And I'm 50 years old and I don't want to live the back half of my life like this. And there's a many reasons why. What they end up all having in common, though, by the time we're done with our work together, is they've gotten to experience a far deeper and greater intimacy with their own bodies and their erotic nature, not just in a sexual context, but in this wider creative sense. And that's transformative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And
Thanks.
so, as you work with your clients, I know that there are many women, out there in the corporate world that are, very much in their power, or maybe it's in their social lives and, they do a lot of fundraising, they do a lot of volunteer work, and that's where they find their power. And yet, when it comes to the intimate relationships, as you were just alluding to with your clients, they struggle. And why do you think that is?
There are a few factors that tend to be at play for most. One of them is it's incredibly vulnerable to actually feel powerful in an intimate context, especially if the way you're going to feel powerful is by consciously and consensually handing your power over. So many of us, and I'm going to speak to in very heteronormative terms, many of us women, especially high achieving, powerful, accomplished women, like you just gave some examples of, we have derived that sense of power and fulfillment and satisfaction from that go-getter. I'm out here in the world, I'm making things happen, I'm having an impact, and that's wonderful. And then oftentimes there's another part of us that's saying, and I just really want to be taken care of. And I really want to slow down and I want to feel my body. Now, when I say there's another part saying these things, you may or may not be hearing that part. You may or may
It's
not be
happening outside your awareness
exactly.
in the unconscious mind.
For some, it's pretty clear. Like they would be able to articulate in their own language. For a lot of people, it's just the like, why am I not so into sex? Or, yeah, okay, sex is something I do. The phrase like, I'll go along to get along applies here. I'll go along with what my partner wants so that we can just avoid having to have another talk about it or a fight about it. Or I suppose this is healthy for my relationship. So, okay, buck up. None of which, first of all, is consensual. And that's a hot word these days that I really love to invite people into a more nuanced understanding of. You can say yes to something, but if the reason that you're saying yes is only to make another person happy and you're not getting any real joy for yourself, and if you're gritting your teeth and tolerating and enduring, that does not a consensual exchange make.
No,
So,
definitely not.
and yet, I guarantee you know people who are doing that, because I sure do. That is many of my clients. And so the desired experience that a lot of us have and haven't been getting is to slow down in our intimacy, to be attuned to, which is to say, to have our body listen to in a way that may not always require a whole lot of words, but when someone's like really sensing and matching your energy, sensing and matching your movements and your rhythm, that is just an incredibly intoxicating experience. So I think a lot of women want that, but they are so like in that hyper aroused state of going and doing that to relax their nervous system to the point of real receptivity, to surrender the armor and access vulnerability, to be quote unquote out of control in a moment of intimacy is really more than they can do presently without some help. With some help, with some guidance, a lot can transform there. And I really like to be mindful. I don't want to presume that that's everyone's experience, because what another end of the spectrum is that there are women who really want to feel more empowered in their sexuality by taking on an assertive role, by bringing far more like directive, this is what I want kind of energy in. And that's how they would like to express their eroticism, which also is not very culturally sanctioned. Because then you get the tropes of like, oh, you're bossy, you're bitchy, you're demanding, like, like it's emasculating and yada yada yada. And so basically it's we get so many messages, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And that really can cause a lot of contraction and suppression of this very vital energy that we're speaking of here, of your erotic energy. And so unwinding a lot of that cultural conditioning is a part of it. Having permission to begin really getting curious about your preferences, having a safe container where that slower pacing and that attunement, and really step by step in a methodical way, getting to know your body in real time, not to please another person, but for your own pleasure, that's where the transformation starts to happen. And it is wild.
Well, I love that you offer this and you help guide your clients through this because, and I love that we're having this conversation here because there's a lot of people that probably don't even realize that they need to slow down and calm their nervous system in order to be able to have that deeper connection with another human being where it's the two that are doing the dance
Yes.
together and to experience that, right?
Yep.
'Cause,
100%.
you know, we're not taught any of this anywhere through our life. You know, we're taught in school, you know, classes about puberty, and that's embarrassing in and of itself because the boys and girls are in the room together these days, and so they're not hearing anything because they're also embarrassed to be there. And there's nothing beyond that.
You're 100% right, Melissa. Most of us, especially if you're speaking about a woman in her middle years, like you and I are, what we had at best was reproductive anatomy, a bit about how to not get pregnant, like, true sex education that centers pleasure and consent. Is still a very rare thing, even in more progressive spaces. It is happening. I know some fantastic sex educators directly who work with teens, and that's the
That's
population
awesome.
that they serve, and they're doing an amazing job. And it's still a rare thing. What's true for us as adults, the things that I'm helping my clients to learn, none of it is rocket science.
No.
This is not just me being humble. None of it's rocket science, but it isn't commonly understood that tending to your nervous system. So let's put that under the heading of relaxation, just for this conversation. Tending your nervous system includes a lot more, but here, relaxation and receptivity. I love alliterations. I'm going to bring in another R word here: resilience.
Right.
So a resilient nervous system has the ability to amp up and activate when the circumstances call for it, and with just as much ease and fluidity to settle back down and chill out when the circumstances call for it.
I
Back
like
to our
to state
example,
that's how it's designed.
that's how our nervous system is designed. When it's not stuck in a threat response that we spoke about earlier, which a lot of us high achievers and
Yes.
overperformers, we are stuck in a threat response. We are used to such a high degree of stress in our nervous systems, such a great amount of outward focus, performing, producing, doing, relating out in the world, out, that to bring our attention inward, really slow down to the pace of presence and figure out, what do I need here? What do I want here? What would it be like to pause? How can I communicate to my partner the ways that I would like to be touched and made love to if I can't even sit with myself for 10 seconds? So, and I'm sure that you know that, I know that, people listening, we know, like,
Right.
it's you could have the most loving, well-intentioned partner in the world who only wants to please you. And this is very, very common among the women who come to work with me when they are in partnership. Like, I've worked with some people whose partnerships have needed a lot of work.
Right.
And mostly I've supported people who have pretty fantastic partnerships and have been stumped and really frustrated by why they can't bring all that wonderfulness that exists on other levels into their sex and intimacy. And this is often the reason why, that they don't know how to really be present with each other. They don't know how to create the relaxation and the safe space in order for this level of vulnerability to unfold. And sex is vulnerable. There, any way you slice it. Like,
Yes.
you can be all for casual sex and that's what you like. You can be in a long-term monogamous relationship. It does not matter what the context of the sex is. Sex is vulnerable. And so we get to do the work of, how does vulnerable become accessible to us? How does vulnerable become a space that we, or a state that we don't fear and resist, rather that we welcome and really want to inhabit? And that's a big part of how my work goes in supporting people.
And especially at a time in our society where so much of the programming and teaching has been that vulnerability is a sign of weakness and don't go there. The last, 50 years versus it's only more recently where we're now stepping into and respecting and honoring vulnerability. For so long, it was weakness. And stay away, don't go there.
And many people still believe that. So
Yes, because
I
it's a
agree.
long-held program.
I agree that we are doing better than we've ever been, and we're also still in like a rare small minority here. But yeah, it's making me think of, I have a t-shirt from a women's embodiment organization that I used to run retreats with, and the t-shirt says, "Vulnerability is sexy." And I
Right.
love that slogan.
Yes.
And it is,
Yes.
because what in this context, what we're talking about is really seeing and being seen, knowing and being known, inviting another person to meet us in the deepest, truest, most authentic realm of ourself. Erotic expression can be wild for us in so much as its range. So, for some people, sex is like a pretty simplistic, straightforward thing. And for others, there are pieces of ourselves that we really only get to try on, that we only get to embody, that we only get to enact in a sexual or an intimate context. And so the choice to let another person join you in that, I mean, the choice to even go there for yourself, it is vulnerable. It's also highly rewarding.
Yes.
Very, very, very much so. So I would encourage it. I think it's very worth it.
And that's why you have many clients coming to you to help
It's
you with
true.
that, to
It's
help them with that.
true.
So let's talk about another segment of society, though, where, because of past trauma, they struggle. And so, how can you help someone who has experienced that past trauma still be able to create a satisfying, intimate life now?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's nothing different from what I've already said. other than the pace that we move at. So
Right.
when someone has a significant trauma history, we often spend a lot more time working on that basic tending to the nervous system and cultivating that resilience that I spoke to. And that can be a very deep diving process for someone who's in a severely activated nervous system state.
Right.
So we will tend to that first and create little by little the conditions and the circumstances so that they can begin to uncouple. So think about, a chain that is linked together, right? When I say uncouple, we want to take that link in the chain apart so that the circumstances that we're traumatizing are no longer bound up with intimacy.
Right.
And that is a process that I work in many different ways to help a client accomplish that, to help them get to really feel that, oh, yes, this thing once upon a time did happen to me. We're not negating past experience. We can't go back with a magic eraser and act as if it didn't happen. But what we can do is help you learn how to differentiate from that past experience and what's going on for you in the present moment, so that when you show up for intimacy, it is not triggering and throwing you back into those protective strategies in the same way. And the time that it takes to do this is very, very personal to each individual. There's no crystal ball of like how long you would spend. But once this happens, we then get to be just as thoughtful and just as intentional in exploring how can physical intimacy actually feel good to you? How do you like to be touched? What is the pace that you want to move at? Where can we begin to just widen that aperture so that you're letting a little more pleasure into your body, a little more sensation in? And it's these small doses over time that all of a sudden there'll be the day where you wake up and it's like, wow, I couldn't even like get touched by my partner without twinges of fear running through my body. And now we're cuddled up naked in bed on a Saturday morning, like it's no big deal. And I am speaking of an actual a client that I've been working with for several years who literally her husband would put a hand on her shoulder from behind her and she would have a startle response.
Right.
It was so intense in her body. When we first started working together, it was months before I touched her directly. And
Right.
now she comes in for a session. It's like, clothes are off. We're exploring her body. Naked cuddle time with her husband and massages and whatnot are a regular part of their lives. And so it's very possible. And it's really down to giving yourself the permission and the grace to move at the pace that you really need to rebuild a sense of safety and trust in your body,
Right.
so that opening up to pleasure and opening up to a connection with another person can really be available.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And, in my work, we work with trauma and we use something called timeline therapy in order to help release all that stuff down, negative emotion, and release it from the body. And it's just when we get it out of the body,
Yeah.
that's when we can move forward. So
And
beautiful.
that's, even if our modalities may be different,
Exactly.
that is what it comes down to. And it's, I love talk therapy. I'm not knocking talk therapy. I'm not knocking things that are narrative based. And yet, particularly where trauma is concerned, we have to move it through the body.
Yes.
We have to create a different somatic. Somatic means of the body, in case that word is unfamiliar for people listening. Like, we have to create a unique somatic experience for ourselves where that release can happen, the tension patterns can unwind, the protective armor can really be set down. And it's, you can talk till the cows come home, but unless you do that releasing and repatterning in the body, it's only going to ever take you so far.
Exactly, and I'm fully in alignment with you and we talk the same talk in regards to that. We absolutely
Yay.
do. So I have another question for you as well, and that is, what are some of the myths that you wish women in midlife would stop believing? Because I know there's so many, because I get them too.
For starters, midlife is not a bad word. Menopause is not a bad
Embrace
word.
it. Yay.
Perimenopause is not a bad word. These are not bad words. They're not dirty words. They're not scary words. What I really wish people would know, like in terms of like myth busting, is that we hear a lot of the most sensationalized worst case scenarios, and we hear far less, if anything at all, about how this gets to be good. And as someone who, one of my unofficial title is professional pussy stroker. Okay, hope it's okay to say that on this show.
Yes.
And so I do hands-on, hands-in work with my clients as a sexological body worker. That's the professional certification that I hold. And I have been hands-on and hands-in with goodness knows how many middle-aged women at this point in time. I can tell you firsthand, you have access to so much pleasure potential at this stage of life and beyond. I have worked with many, many clients who the beauty of this age and stage, instead of feeling the myth is often like, okay, I'm done. This is as good as it's ever going to get. Oh,
Right.
no, my dear. You are just getting started because the beauty in middle age is that we don't care as much about that, like the people pleasing and those facets of conditioning start to unwind themselves a bit more. Like we just are not as concerned with performing and maintaining the appearance of being docile and likable and attractive and this, that, or the other. Like there's a lot more of a natural sense of coming into your own agency and authentic expression that a lot of women will experience in their middle years, which makes it prime time to get to know who you are sexually.
Right.
You could have spent your 20s, your 30s, your 40s completely playing the role that you believed you needed to play to get love, to get attention, to make your partner happy. You know, the list goes on and on. Now, here we are with the backside or the back half of life ahead of us. And it's like, hang on a second. What if I put myself at the center? What if I actually invest time, energy, curiosity in getting to know the things that delight me because I no longer want to just serve another person's desires. So this is what I constantly see happening for women. And there have been some studies that came out recently showing that masturbation is proven to lessen some of the negative side effects that women going through menopause experience. That it actually, by staying connected to your body and to your pleasure, you can offset certain things that hormonal fluctuations might be creating in your body. I'm not calling it a panacea. I like to be real, like realistic and honest, but it's nor is it a death sentence that you're going to shrivel up and, physically and energetically, which that happens, even things like that. Like you might experience physiologically your body going through changes. And yes, it might be vaginal dryness. It's the thinning of the tissues that happens for some. It can make certain kinds of stimulation less comfortable slash different. Let's just say different than it used to feel. So the beauty here is you get to be creative about, well, what can I do so that this does feel good to me? Is that trying something new altogether? Is that a different lubricant? Is that using some hormone therapy or playing with different toys and bringing in different kinds of sexual stimulation? It's all an invitation for a lot more creativity and experimentation as far as what really does it for you, what turns you on that you have access to at this point.
Right. Getting back to that switch, right?
Yes.
And yeah, being open and being curious and not listening to, as you said, that narrative that's out there and believing that it applies to you or it applies to all. It
Yes.
doesn't. We're all each unique individuals that have our own unique needs, and it's understanding what we need for ourselves.
Very much so.
So I love that. So another question just from that is, you mentioned, obviously working with people in person. Do you also work with people over Zoom that, or do your clients need to be physically close to you?
Neither of those things. So I primarily work in person. And I have clients come to work with me from all over. So I believe you're in Canada,
Okay.
and I have
Yes.
quite a number of Canadian clients. So I work both in a way where I do ongoing work with clients who are local to me. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area,
Right.
Oakland, California, and I do more immersion style work. So
Okay.
we design a personal retreat of several days where you
Right.
get to really drop into this experience, and that can be just delicious and really like a time outside of time, personal retreat, that is
That's
focused
awesome.
all on exploring your eroticism. And occasionally, depending upon what someone is bringing, I might do Zoom only sessions. And that really is down to the particulars
Right.
of
The
can
need
I
of,
serve your need in that format as opposed
right.
to the hands-on work, which because what I do is so unique. There are sexological body work, which I've named is it's one of my primary modalities that I work with in my practice. And there are not all that many of us in the world. We're talking a few hundred across the globe. So, and most people don't have any idea that you could have an erotic therapeutic container, which is what sexological body work provides, where it's held with a lot of integrity and professionalism and care. And also, there is space for your sexual turn on. There is space for your arousal. We're here to explore what not only what turns you on, but potentially what gets you off. And that you can have a dedicated space where a practitioner is there to guide and support you, and you are not worried about reciprocity in kind, which is what goes on with a partner. You know, any partner with a partner, and this is understandable. We want to know that it's good for them, right? I mean, that's a natural thing. But what it also means is that we're dividing our attention and we're not necessarily doing everything the way we would want at the pace that we would want. And in this space, all of that applies. It's all about you. So wherever you are, if you're like, "Ooh, I'm curious about this Darshana lady. Maybe I do want to go work with her." Distance need not be the only barrier. And you might find there are, I'm not the only sexological body worker. We don't all have the same exact scopes of practice. So my trauma lens is a very highly developed part of my practice, and that's not everyone else's scope. So for instance, if you're somebody with a lot of trauma in your history, it'd be really, really important before pursuing this kind of work to make sure that you find a practitioner who's very skilled at holding a healing space for that particular journey. But there are options.
Beautiful. I love that there are so many options. And just as we start to wrap this episode, what's a simple way that someone listening can begin their journey towards more embodied and connected eroticism?
Yeah. The most foundational thing that I love to invite you into is to start paying attention to your senses. It's very simple. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but it is very simple, you know, to start really slowing it down to say, like, I'm just looking around my office right now. It's like, what do my eyes land on that catches my attention and sparks a bit of joy, beauty, intrigue? When you wake up in the morning and, you know, I often hear birds outside my house. So it's like a bird song in the morning. What happens when we're paying attention to our senses is we are present. That's what this is about. We're in the present moment, and we're also allowing that communication that is arising from within us to be registered by our consciousness. We need to cultivate more of that connection because when it comes to learning about what you like sexually and how to thrive in your intimate life, you need to be able to hear your body talk to you. And many of us have gotten very far away from that kind of deep listening in the busyness of our lives. I often say our dominant cultures are cultures of disembodiment. And so the fundamentals of embodiment, presence, connection with your senses, slowing things down, we've got to really make it a practice because we're not going to be getting that as we move about our days otherwise. So pay attention to your senses. And then if you want to go one step further, and I do encourage this, really focus on what delights them. You know, your preferences, and this could be, you know, I was at a gelato shop the other day and I'm like, I walked in jokingly and I'm like, can I taste them all? He's like, not actually, but you know, you could try a few. And it's like, okay, so I tasted three, four flavors, whatever it was, before deciding what I wanted. That was me using my sense of taste, right, to decide what feels good to me. I think that's a really accessible example. Many of us have walked into an ice cream shop and wanted to taste flavors. What would it be like to apply that same MO to your other senses and in other circumstances so that you're continuing to deepen an authentic relationship with your preferences? That's going to then give you a lot of really good insight to move into more intimate contexts and you build from there.
Absolutely beautiful, and some really great simple action steps people can take right away.
I'm all for
So,
simple.
yes. So, Darshna, I love to ask every single guest that comes on this show, what does don't wait for your wake-up call mean to you?
Oh, I love this question. I think your wake-up call really is wherever you are in the present moment, because the present moment, as I understand it, is a chance to begin again. Like you get to wake up every breath you take, every moment. So I think a lot of us are taught that like the wake up has to be the big thing that shakes up your entire life. And what if the wake up is simply knowing what your next right step is right here and now? So I would say again, it's down to a practice of presence. Like be where you are and allow yourself to have the gift of intimate presence with that embodied wisdom so that you can really feel and sense where you want to go.
I love it. Beautiful. Thank you. And if somebody listening wants to work with you, what's the best way for them to be able to get hold of you? And I know you've also very graciously offered a wonderful gift called Galgasm. So if you can talk about that as well, please.
Yeah, but well, and they're both great ways to find me. So my website is my name, darshanaavila.com, and that's going to give you a lot of the juicy details about how to work with me and all sorts of resources. And one of the resources that I have available is a free online community hub called Galgasm. It's hosted on the school platform. So that's skool.com/galgasm, GALGASM. And I know this will all be in the notes, I'm sure. So
Yes.
don't, if you're driving, don't worry about it. You can grab it later. But Galgasm is an online hub that has a classroom full of resources, different prompts, guided visualizations, journaling things, embodiment exercises, all to help kickstart your journey exactly where you are now. So that way, if working with me isn't the thing you want to do yet for whatever your reasons, or it's really not accessible, there are still ways that you can dive in. And then you could also find me on the social. I'm on Instagram and YouTube. If you're a LinkedIn person, I hang out there even occasionally. So come and say hi wherever you might find me.
That's wonderful. I love it. And yes, all of that will be in the show notes. Absolutely. And Darshana, this has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and wealth. And, there's so many listeners out there that I know will, maybe started listening and the ear perked up a little bit, and now it's perked up a whole lot because they've related to so much of what you've said. And are there any last words of wisdom that you would like to leave the audience with?
The thing that I really, really want people to know is you being you is perfect. Like it is. Whatever way you want to engage with your erotic energy, however you want to explore intimacy, whatever embodiment ends up meaning to you, what matters is that you get to know yourself authentically. You know, we are taught so much about like performing and meeting standards that were never ours to begin with. So what I want folks listening to know is like you get to be you, and that's a beautiful thing.
It is absolutely a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for being here today, Darshana. And to the audience, thank you for tuning in and listening to this powerful episode. And if you know someone else that needs to hear it, please share this episode with them as well. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.